All right, everybody. Thanks again for tuning in to New School Daddy, where we talk about everything dads for everyday dads. This is Rob and Kev. What's going on, brother?
Yo, what's going on, my brother? How you doing today, man?
I'm moving and grooving as usual, man. Trying to, keep clean, washing my hands. You know, this COVID-19 got everybody upside down.
It does. And it does for good reason. But you know what? In the words of the great Pulitzer Prize winning author, MC Kendrick Lamar, we gonna be all right. We done survive more than this, man. We built for this, man. Everybody that's listening out there, we gonna get through this. Tough times don't last forever, but people do.
That's right. That's right. We have another dad journal going on for you today, everybody. We have a wonderful special guest, a man that's close to my heart, real addictive personality. He comes to us with a varying background, especially in physical fitness. He has two wonderful kids. I had a pleasure meeting them, loving them, helping them grow. And he's doing the same for my kids. I want everybody to please put your hands together for this young Mr. Reggie Howard, how you doing?
I'm great, man. That was a fantastic intro. Yeah, totally, man. In the midst of all this madness, I'm actually doing well, and I honestly I can't complain. So,
well, you know, I just want to say thank you for taking some time out since we all got a lot of it nowadays, except for Kevin, of course.
He's a busy man. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. But thanks for taking some time out and blessing our audience with some words of wisdom. Anything else that I didn't say that you want to let everybody know about yourself?
Well, first of all, thank you. And yes, you do serve a warm part to me, man. And you have been very influential and positive in advising me in a lot of different situations because, personally, we're linked in and we're family. You have two beautiful kids who I was actually with earlier yesterday. Your daughter's just full of life and personality.
Sure.
She's the outgoing and the funny one, right? Whereas, Jules, man, he's a little more laid back and reserved, but he's coming along too as well. So, no, I think you kind of tapped into it, man. I work in fitness, so I'll make this kind of brief as far as like just my background. I work in fitness, so the fitness industry has taken a big hit. One thing about it, it has launched. There's going to be a lot more because everybody's doing these in-home workouts, which I've come on board to do as well as far as virtual sessions and just doing videos and creating a platform that's now kind of like home base. But this is more, more so by force and default than it is by like initiation. I work out at the gym. I have a small company and we do group trainings and private sessions. And I'm a father of two, older, 13 and 15. They, my 15 year old, my daughter is, amazing. My son, is a challenge. So it's funny. Cause, when I heard that you had a podcast that you and Kevin were doing a podcast for dads. And, I listened to the first one, I believe, and just the angles from which you guys are talking from, was super inspirational because I know for me, starting off as a father, I was young. I was in my senior year of college when I had my first kid, and I totally wasn't prepared. I wasn't, and it took some years before I felt like I really knew what it is to be a father the way I wanted to kind of commit to a child and really see them through and then leave a legacy or establish a pattern of some good habits and then eventually leave something that's willable as far as something that they can take and live on or build from. So, yeah, man, I really I really admire what you guys are doing and what you guys and the topics that you guys bring up and talk about because, there is probably a lot of dads out there struggling from a lot of different angles, and a podcast and just hearing some words of motivation and encouragement that somebody else is in their category, or, you know, just simply, you know, from the aspect of just letting them know, like, hey, these are our struggles. These are our highs and our lows. And yeah, there's a parallel that somebody can actually join and see and kind of take from and maybe push on for. So thanks, guys. A round of applause for you.
Nah, no problem, bro, man. And I will say, having watched a little bit of your parenting style and watching you come into your fatherhood, man, we say this all the time. There's no manual to this thing. There's no guidebook that you can pick up and read and know exactly what to do. But when you get it, like when you own it, it kind of just all clicks, right? And that's what I've seen you do, right? I mean, the minute you figured it out for yourself, you're like, you know what? This is the type of dad that I want to be. These are the things that I want to teach my kids. That you ran with it. And even before then, you was a very influential individual. You know what I mean? You say that I influenced you, but you influenced me. I love your go-get-em-ness. I love your optimism. I love your energy. Like, you're a really good dude, man. And I'm glad to see you moving in the light that you want to be in. It's awesome.
Totally, man. Thanks, bro. Yeah. Appreciate you, man. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, man, you I mean, you saw early on that, you know, my parenting style came with aggression. Because I feel like my son, man, just drives the tipping point, right? But,
right.
It you know, over time, you know, one thing about the story, I have my, you know, I didn't have my son full time until later. So with that, you know, and I'll give you a background on that, as we go along, but with that, we kind of had to grow with each other. So I had to learn him, he had to learn me. And there was just some things we had to kind of get used to, for both of us to kind of grow. And then from there, that kind of led to kind of, you know, meddling some things out. But yeah, man, like you said, there's, you know, that's the best thing you can always say. This thing does not come with a manual. It doesn't come with any instructions. There's no one way or right way to do things. And everybody's DNA and makeup is different along with their relationship, right? So
you kind of briefly let everybody know a little bit about your story, about, you know, your journey through fatherhood and like when you picked it up. So let everybody know, like, what was one of the most challenging things that you've run across to date, you know, in not just raising one, but, you know, raising two and coming into it a little, you know, getting your bearings on this fatherhood thing a little later than you would have.
Yeah, totally. So with me, my kids are by, for starters, my kids are by two different women. And so that's I don't want to say an issue itself, but that's a challenge within itself, right? So what happened was, I had my daughter first, who I'm actually with now. We've been together. It's been on and off now for about 19 years. So in that process, I wound up having my son. We had broke up, and I wound up having my son when I was in college. So I had my daughter in 2005, and then I had my son about a year and 9 months later in 2006, while I was actually in school. And so, one, I was away from my kids, so I didn't really spend a lot of time with them in the early stages, especially my daughter. So my daughter, I just saw when I could see her. I was playing football too at the time too, so I you know when probably soon to be wife, Ahuva.
Yeah, put it out there.
Strong probables, but nah. We've been in the pocket for such a long time, man. She's like a best friend. So we had baby girl Kaylin. My daughter's name is Kaylin in 2005, and I was actually going into my senior year of college, and then I wind up having my son, because I, you know, I was on that extended program. I wind up having my son in 2006.
I know very well.
And so, for me, early on, I didn't have, I wasn't there, you know, for the nurturing part of the young stages. So because I was in school and I was away, and even when I was in school, even having my son, I wasn't there for a lot of the time. His mom did most of the groundwork as far as being there in the nurturing part and raising him. So when I wound up coming back in 2007 to D.C., when I left school, I still had, you know, I got my own place, but I wasn't a full-time parent. So I didn't become a full-time parent until probably when my daughter was around about closer to the four. So 05, 06, 07. So yeah, probably around like 2008, right? So I'm bad with math, guys. What's that? 5, 6.
It's a long time.
So we'll say it's around about the four mark, right? So that's when I started. And I'm gonna lead this into my point here, man. So that's when I started becoming a full time parent, right? And it was still kind of soft. My girl basically Ahuva did most of the work, and the workload. As far as just being there on a daily basis, having a routine, changing, and doing all that. Some of the things you kind of really just take for granted, man. And then Kevin's in the young stages right now. Oh, bless your soul, brother. So.
Thank you, brother.
Kevin's got these young ones, man.
I received them, Perez, brother. I need them all, bro.
Trust me. Damn. And so you have twins. I don't, bro. I made two at one time. Oh, God. All right. So, all right. You are the man, bro. You are a hero for me. So just fast forward, my son started having behavioral issues, right? Which is this is kind of common amongst young Black boys too, in our community. So he started having these behavior issues, and he was out in Virginia at the time. So this is when I wind up getting this is almost it kind of reminds you, if you guys you know, like kind of like Boys in the Hood, the movie where
Yeah, exactly.
That's the right. So, you know, yo, classic, right? So my story was almost just like that, right? So, you know, I can't think of the character's name, but
Trey, the young boy.
Yes, exactly. Trey, Cuba Gooding Jr.'s guy, right? So Trey, started acting up, started feeling himself, man. And so, you know, Angela Bassett, the mom, she's like, listen, you need to go live with your father. This same ordeal happened with my son. Now, my son, the icing on the cake was, you know, he mooned his class one day. Yeah. Pulled his whole pants down and mooned the class and thought this was like, you know, a hilarious joke, right? But he had small incidents that kind of led up to this. And then moms were just like, listen, I don't know what else I could do here. It's like, yeah, you need to go live with your father. And we had kind of talked about that beforehand, but then it kind of, it really resonated and came through. God, I can't think of the year, man, when that happened. But he came in, he came to live with me when he was 7 years old. So he had already had kind of like some things established, and I think a lot of it was more so attention based. But this was the turning point in my life. Once he came and walked in the building, all like any selfish acts as far as like me going out, me wanting to party, me wanting to do happy hours, and me wanting to make sure I'm doing all the other things that kind of took away from some of the attention that was needed for him, it all changed. And that was a turning point for me. And that's when the process started. And so with that, man, because my daughter is a little different, she kind of, there isn't a lot that I have to do with her. So, you know, if I tell her something once or twice, if I got to say the second time, it's like, okay, Kaylin, you know, okay. If I say the third or fourth time, then maybe it's a problem, right? And it doesn't really even get the four. It's really the third time. It's like, okay, what's going on? Well, my son, three times are like the intro. Four and five, you know, like four and five is like, you know, the usual. And then six is when it's like, all right, damn it, you know, like it's time to straighten up. And so with that, man, you know, There was just some things that I felt like, you know, and I talked to you about this, Rob. There was just some things I felt like I was missing, and a lot of it was just the communication part. So there was the communication part, and then it was like learning the patience of just how to deal with him and the personality and how to reach him and kind of meet him at his level and then kind of fluctuate and go from there, right? Because he is the child. So the turning point for me was trying to understand and yield some understanding to figure out what's going on with him. So I had to spend a lot more time talking. I had to spend a lot more time being patient and filtering out some of this behavior that he had with his mom and try to establish a new base and some consistency for him and then kind of grow from there. So to get that in a nutshell, man, that was to me, that was when fatherhood really kicked in. And now, you know, we got a pretty good relationship. He's 13 now. So again, I'm terrible with math. What's that? Seven? It's about 7 years, right? Well, no.
It's about to be.
Six years. So there's 6 years of growth in the process. He was a little boy, man, no bass in his voice. And now he's gotten a lot taller. We always laugh and joke. It's funny, man, when you hear your kids kind of imitate, like, you guys are gonna get there. When you hear your kids kind of reenact you, and you know, like my son always, he has this joke. He's like, if ever you know Kaylin does something wrong, he's always like, "So dad, are you gonna discipline him?" So he'll say. Or he'll throw out a scenario. He's like, "Let me ask you something, Dad. Like, if Caitlin did this, what would you do with her?" He's like, and before I could even ask, he's like, "Oh no, you'd probably give her a talk, right?" But with me, it's a lot of threats. it's a way more aggressive nature. And this is how he talks too, man. It's kind of cool. He's really articulate. So you know, we'll have these conversations. He's just like you know, it's just crazy how, like, you know, Kaylin could do something and then your tone and aggression with her is just way different from me. And I'm like, "Well, Malachi, do you want to do comparison?" Because I try not to never compare them, right? Actually, I really don't. So the only time it comes up is when he wants to compare. And I'm like, "Listen, do you really want to compare?" And he's like, "Nah, Dad, you know, let's not even go there." But, you know, fatherhood, man, I'd be lying to you and any and everybody if I told you my outlook on it has just been the most positive. Like I said before, when I had my kids, I had them when I was young, and I still wanted to, you know, I wasn't even sure. Like I said, I had my kids by two different women too at the time, and I was still, you know, parlaying and definitely still just being out, you know, hanging about and still wanting to sell my Royal Oats. So for me, you know, fatherhood, even though I had kids early on, it wasn't a thing that was like a priority for me. So it took some time for it to actually kick in. And with that, you know, when I actually started doing and becoming a parent, it still was like, "Oh my God, this is rough." And mind you, man, I wasn't even always there early on. Like, if anything, I had to toot my hat and the horns off to, you know, my girls that, you know, raised the kids, you know, for the starting point to where we are now. So, like, you know, having not been there and still kind of complaining, you look back and it's just like, man, you need to take a grain of some humble salt, man, to chill, because there's a lot of people in a lot of different situations that could be way worse. But now, man, it's been, you know, talking to other people and seeing other people have kids. Like, a lot of people around my age now, I'm 37, are starting to have kids, man. So a lot of my friends are starting to have their kids and they're a little younger. And then there's a couple people that have had them, you know, where they are now. I'll tell you this, man. I really like the fact that in my 40s, my kids will be journeying on to becoming an adult, right? And passing that point where, you know, me and Ahuba will be able to live a little bit. And the journey, I guess the responsibility would be from a different aspect.
Not me, brother. Not me. I'm 41 and I just had my last daughter. She's 8 months. So when I tell you, I got a while to go, you know. But but what I will say is this though, I do applaud you, because I remember when, you know, I met you, you know, and your kids, you know, you had your kids, like you said, you know, your kids are much older than mine. And I look at y'all like, you know, you're around like, "Ooh, that looks tough." You know. But one thing I will say is that the cool thing about it is that being a father, like, know, not just, you know, being a person that has your name on the birth certificate, but really being an engaged father. You said something that I thought was really profound, that when you decided, like, oh, I'm not going to just see them every now and then and come bring a toy, but actually, like, be a part of their life, that's when everything changed. And I think that's the premise about what makes a man a real father, a dad. It's one thing to say, oh, well, you know, I have my kids, I spend money, I take care of them, I do something to let them know that they have a father. That's cool. That's better than being total absentee. But when you say, well, they came to stay with me, I really got engaged, and I was like, whoa, this is, and I had to give up my selfishness. I couldn't just do what I wanted to do, go out somewhere or eat, you know, oats or happy hours. Like, I had to, like, put these children before me. I had to be less selfish. That is when you become, like, in my eyes, I think all of us, that's when you go from being a male to becoming a man. So I just applaud you for saying, you know, early on, I didn't know what I was doing or if I wanted to be really, you know, in this predicament, in this situation. But at some point, you were like, you know what, let me up my game some and take care of it. And for that, I give you the utmost respect, because that's what being, you know, a real man, a real father is about. We may not all start the same, but we end the same. And just one quick thing, you are right. You'll be 40, like in your early 40s, mid-40s, and you'll be done. And I won't. I have a long ways to go. But here's the beauty, I think, in having kids a little bit later. And it's that when you have them a little bit later, you're a little bit more, like, settled, accomplished. But most importantly, mm-hmm. when you do have them when you're later, you've done all the other stuff to where now, like, you know, me and Rob, you know, we got time to do podcasts, right? Because we're so into this dad thing, and we did so much running, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago. We're like, nah, we cool, you know. And I think I have, I just feel like I'm like a total dad now. Like I mean, like my kids were born, and I was already like dad. Like I was ready. I was sitting there with like a little mat and glove, ready to play baseball in the yard. So that's the cool thing I think about having a little bit later. But yeah, I do envy you, bro, because you'll be like 45 and done, and I won't. I'll be getting my last girl out of diapers or like one in the kindergarten.
No. Oh. Listen, that's facts, man. Like, it will, you know what's going to happen, right? It just, you go into a different layer of responsibilities. So, like, even though the kids are older, man, I mean, you can never shut off the parenthood, right? It's always going to be there 24/7, 365. It just goes from, like, hands-on directly when they're out of your house, you know, I mean, when they're in your house to when they're out of your house. It's like, you know, you get the phone calls and it's indirect, right? And I don't know, man, sometimes it seems like sometimes those tasks or those phone calls could be like, man, oh, what the hell, guys? What's popping off? What do you need, son? So, but you're right, though, man. As far as, you know, Kev, it's funny how these things work out, right? So I totally agree with you. My dad had my, you know, he had my brother when he was in his 40s. Actually, when he was like in his late 40s. And then, or mid 40s. No, it was his mid 40s. And my mom was 40. So, and that makes us, because we're about, I'm about 11 years apart from him. And then their first child, though, my sister, they had in 76. And they had him in 93. So that makes him 17 years apart. Yeah. So it's funny. Those are, exactly, man. Those are two totally different phases of your life. Of you becoming a parent, right? You know what I mean? So like you said, you know, you're at the 40 mark, and like you've done these things, you know, you got your business. I do agree with that, because a lot of times when you do have them later, you have a little more time on your hands and you're mature, bro. I feel like when I had mine, I totally wasn't at the maturation of what I think, knowing what I want to, like knowing the type of father I want to be now, having them that early and what I was doing and still playing football. It's just like, yo, it's two different realms and two different mindsets of what I was at. So, yeah, man, it's just funny how it kind of develops and works out, because I can't even, to be honest with you guys, I can't even imagine right now. And starting over again. Oh.
Right.
Say it again. I'm living vicariously through Kevin.
I do that all the time, man. Like, you know, all my friends' kids, they come around like, yeah, you know, it's candies. It's like, it's, you know, you become Santa and you give them right back.
That's it. Hand off. Hand off.
Well, before we move on to the second, to the next segment and all, I did want to ask you, Reg, because you have a unique perspective that a lot of our other guests didn't have or don't have. But you had to, not only did you have to navigate fatherhood, you had to navigate balancing the two homes and dealing with the two mothers. Can you speak to, like, how crazy was that for you to try to balance in the two states that you were in? One that you was like, I'm not mature enough to handle this, and then getting to the point where you are right now.
Man, you know, Rob, you know me, man. I'm definitely a wild guy, right? I'm a very passionate, energetic guy. And I don't always sit and assess everything like I should. Because of my passion, I can be impulsive. So that's kind of what led to the situation of me even getting involved and having my kids the way I had them and the way I had them spaced out. Even though we were, you know, me and Ahuva had broken up when we were apart, man. That's still, you know, to explain to her, because we had such a, you know, we had such a close history. So to explain to her that, you know, I got somebody else pregnant that I really didn't have any plans on moving forward with, was a challenge. Not only was it a challenge, man, it was just like, man, what the heck? So when you deal with these personalities, right? Because when you have kids, I feel like when you have multiple kids by multiple people, it brings about multiple personalities that you have to deal with, right? First, starting off, because of my, you know, it was because of my immaturity in the way that I was deceiving my girl, you know. And just not, because I really didn't want to have my son. I didn't want to have, when I had my daughter, and speaking truth, we knew, like, Ahuva was just like, hey, listen, man, if I ever get pregnant, I'm not having an abortion. And it just so happened, man, I had a night of drinking and I was like, oops, yeah, this is going down. So that's how Caleb came, right? And then with my son, that honestly, man, was not planned. And when that went down, when we had our conversation, we said, hey, if we do have a chance where we get pregnant, you know, are we in agreeance that we would go and have an abortion? And it was like, yes, right? But what happened was, man, the day that happened, and I'm going to, you know, I'm just kind of giving you a little back history on this, man. The day when that happened, man, we were driving to the clinic down in Richmond, because I'm with the School of Virginia State. And she was like, she just broke down, pulled off to the side of the road, was like, listen, I don't want to do this. And I was like, who am I? You know, I already had a kid, man. Who am I to be like, hey, nah, you don't have to do this, man. I mean, nah, you got to do this. Like, we're not going to have this kid. We already agreed to that. So I just felt soft about the situation. And I felt like I should have been empathetic, and I was. And so that's when Malachi came. With that, though, man, the early years, my daughter's mom, she's very laid back, very humble, and very, she's introverted and pretty quiet. There's not a lot of drama that comes with her. With Malachi's mom, it was a way different story. So, first of all, in the early stages and dealing with that, we had a lot of problems, and we were actually living with each other for the first 6 months of Malachi's life while I was down there at in Virginia State. And then we just had issues where we just bumped heads, and it just got to the point where it got so bad. I was just like, listen, I'm out. And I grabbed my stuff, literally. I quit my job on a Friday, grabbed my stuff, and was back in D.C. on a Monday. And then from there, you know, having to deal with that, because it was an early breakup, it was abrupt. And then you got to figure out your ways, you know, as far as child support. And you have, like, multiple people. Her mom was in her ear like, yo, what are you going to do? You need to take Reggie for child support. He needs to do this. What is he going to do? How is he going to see the kids? Because at first, man, it wasn't a situation where I knew what I wanted to do. I just know what I didn't want to be involved in anymore. And our relationship was just detrimental. Like, I felt like we were just butting heads constantly, to the point I was like, listen, this isn't going to be healthy for anybody. So with that, my son was actually in Richmond when I came back to DC, and my daughter was in DC. So the way we kind of worked that, once I got a job, I just wound up paying for his daycare. I didn't see him as much. I would only see him probably like maybe once a month or maybe twice, because I would have the driving point. Once I got back, I had to get a car. It took me some while, it took me some time to kind of get on my feet, and then I had to set up the arrangement with that. And then with that, man, we were still, we were still trying to figure out our whole deal, as far as, man, our relationship, because you have these, for me, man, I felt like I was just in such a confused and vulnerable state, and just loving women and going in and out. I had to really put a lockdown on what it is my future is with his mom and what we're going to be to even like get out of that and move on. So that took roughly about another 6 months, where we were still just kind of going back and forth of what we wanted to do and where we wanted to be. And then by that time, man, once I got through that, I had a little more focus or a little more stability and set up a schedule to getting him, seeing him, and figuring some things out, and kind of like colliding that with my daughter. Luckily, man, I'm really blessed, Rob. On my daughter's side of the family, there's a lot of support there between her grandmother, her mom, and her sisters. So that place was already in lock. And like I said, this was a very drama-free woman. So it didn't take much to just explain things or do things and have a relationship with her, and she just had to understand. So all in all, in the course, man, it took us roughly about, I'd say, 5 years to get on the same page. Now, we can come to a cookout, or we can be in places, we can do things where, there was never any drama, man, because everyone, the only drama that we really had was the inconsistencies on me and my part. As far as Ahuva and, Malachi's mom, her name is Tish, they were always cool. They never ever had a problem, just from the get-go. Knock on wood, man. I was actually pretty blessed with that. Just from the starting point, there was never really any issue. The only issue was with me and some of the back and forth that I was doing and some of the lies and some of the deception that I had, man, on my part. So the balancing act never ever really came from the outside forces. Everything started to settle once I just started to settle. So once I started to figure out, man, what my path was and what I wanted to do, everything else just pretty much fell in place. And that all happened, that honestly all happened once we got back, I'd say when my son was around like 2, but once my son moved in, like once he came in the building and there was a presence of him being in the house along with my daughter, yeah, it all dropped in place, period, So, yeah, okay, I appreciate that, man.
Yeah, man.
I definitely see my daughter looking out, but both of them, man, I hope that it does come down to that. And I hope that I actually, man, and we'll probably get into this, I hope that, some things you can't, you can't always explain health-wise how things can formulate and come. How people get lung cancer that have never smoked. But I hope that, with the health and wealth part of it, man, that I'm able to be, physically capable. And more than anything, I think I'm more afraid of just losing my mind. I hope that my mind stays intact down the stretch too, so that life will be easier for me to interact with them, and hopefully for you guys too, man, to interact with your kids so that you can have as much longevity as possible, right? So, but thanks, man. Thanks for that observation, Kev.
Well, yeah, I'm gonna lose my mind. It ain't gonna. I'm gonna be done 45. I'm gonna go cuckoo crazy, jumping out of trees and shit.
Oh man, can we cut some? Are you? Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. We do whatever we do.
I am. Gosh, man, my personality, bro. Sometimes I feel like I'm bipolar at moments. I haven't been diagnosed, but we still had situations. We still had situations. where, you know, I was still getting to it with my daughter's mom, but my foundation was pretty much locked in. It's just like, yo, I'm here to stay. Which that took I feel like that took a long time, man. Because I always just had that curiosity of what else is out there, what else should I be doing? And honestly, man, the kids just kind of take the cake.
That's what's up, man. Thanks for sharing your growth story, man.
That's it, man. That's the name of this podcast, man, the growth story.
Yeah, it was a lot, man. I was definitely, man. I was a person that was truly out there, man. I really loved hanging out. I really loved partying, and I love women. And that can be, those are ingredients for it that can be detrimental, man. That could really drag and kind of drain you, not just financially, but can drain you mentally, can drain you physically, and can drain your spirit. When you allow yourself to be tied and plugged into so many avenues and so many directions, you know, I'm not, you know, there's a lot of people. I mean, look at our president, you know, has had multiple wives, and, you know, kids by other people, you know, Tom Brady, there's a lot of successful Puff Daddy, success, I guess it's relative to how you define it, but there's people that have been able to move on for that. I'm just one that I know I'm such an emotional person. And then, you mix that with passion, that to be out there and have all this, man, and just kind of like stay in the realms of wanting to just float and flirt, and it was just like, man, it wouldn't be conducive at all. And then seeing my son's behavior and what I was getting, and then the way he was and the type of attention that he needed, yeah, man, that really put some things in perspective, you know. Unfortunately, man, my daughter was already kind of somewhat stable, but, you know, there's no neglect to her too as well, right? So,
yeah. Right. Listen, man, I'm proud of the growth. Having seen the beginning of it and seeing where you are right now, I know when you made the decision that you was going to be in your kids' lives like full time, and when I found out that Mally was going to be in the house, I said, yo, that's my dog. I said, okay. I was like, okay.
Right, man. That was, yeah.
Because you were always good with kids, man. You were always good with kids. And so I know your kids are straight, and then having watched them grow over these years, man, I was like, yeah, it's because you're in their lives. You can see it. You can totally.
Well, I'm good with kids, man, that I can give back. Right.
You know what's funny, Rob?
It's a different story when they stay with you.
Hey, yo, fellas, one quick heads up. So listen, Reggie.
Yes.
So let me see here. Oh God, listen. I want to say this without throwing anybody under the bus, but let me just be straight up. Like, there are a lot of people who, our age, right, grown men who have fathers who are now, like, you know, the baby boomers, they're you know, they're retired or close to being retired or, you know, whatever the case is. And, you know, they're up there now. Like, they're, you know, they're elders. And a lot of them, like, I can count, like, four or five people that I know personally. A few have been on the show, actually, and they have fathers who are up in age now, and they're looking around for their kids, and their kids are like, well, I'll, you know, come see you when I can, but I'm living in a different area, or I'm busy, I got my own kids and my own life. And I'm seeing personally, how when you don't take really good care of your kids, You know, no matter how passionate, right, no matter how athletic or how, you know, charismatic we are, or, you know, how much money we have, we get old. And when we get old, really what matters is that woman that loves you, right, and those children. But those children especially, because even if the woman loves you and she's been around and she stays with you, hopefully, that's cool, but she can't lift you up and take you to the bathroom, right? She can't, you know, say, let me come and take you here, come take you there. You know, like, having children that care about you, like, that makes the difference when you get old. And I personally, I am looking at several older men now who are calling the kids, hey, when are you going to come see me? Hey, I need a ride to the store. hey, I'm sick. Can you send me to the doctor? So what you've done with your children for you is going to bless you in so many ways. I know it, right? You know, your business and you know, your career, and like God's going to honor you in so many ways. But here's the really great part about it. I want to emphasize to you. You came in and you helped to save your son. And in that, he saved you and helped you become the man you're supposed to be. But he's going to save you even more because you're going to age. You won't be this, you know, we're doing the dad bod episode right now. We may have to do two with you, man. Like one on the growth of Reggie, you know, the maturation of Reggie, the miseducation of Reggie, whatever you want to call it. Maybe another one on the dad bod thing. But real talk, like when you are older and never mind dad bod, it's about staying alive. I need someone to come get me, you know, get my medicines and cook me something to eat. Your son and daughter are gonna be there. Like they're gonna be there because you were there. And I'm telling you, I'm seeing it in my own family and people in my life and around me. Cause New School Daddy didn't just come out of thin air. We all got a story. But all those cats, you know what I'm saying, me included, who got fathers, you know, who weren't, you know, always there, you know, you do what you can, but our mamas, now we drop, you know, hey, mama's sick, oh, we gotta take off work, you gotta move mama in, hey, come on. But the fathers who didn't, you know, show up like that, I'll come see them every now and then, and you have bypassed that. Like, you bypassed that. So kudos to you on so many levels, but what you missed that I want to make sure I emphasize to you is that you just elevated yourself to grandpa. When your children become older and you know, marriage and have their own children, you just make sure that when you get older, you're not concerned, where will I stay? You know, I don't want to have somebody come in my house who's a stranger to help take care of me. You took care of that.
That's deep, man. You know, hey, appreciate that, Kev. That's something that's honestly, man, one of the driving forces, mostly from the aspect, man, I don't get along. So like my mom, I have a terrible relationship. Like our relationship is pretty, I'm not going to say terrible, but we're not close. It's terrible only in the sense that, you know, I wish things could have been different. And I think that's why. That's part of one of the reasons, man, that I was out there the way I was, and just seeking attention from girls. But, you know, my mom, man, our relationship, you know, is really distraught. And I just, what's been a motivating force for me is exactly what you just said. Like, the way that I am with her is how I don't want my kids to be with me. And so just learning from some of the mistakes and some of the turmoil and the detriment that we've had in our relationship as what kind of, you know, has driven me to be there in a manner that more so just emotionally, not just having a presence, because my mom was there. Like, she was there physically. But emotionally, there wasn't, you know, she wasn't there to account for. She was, you know, I grew up with a very abusive mother. And so that's also what has changed my communication and how I want to come across to my son. Before that, you know, because of that reason, because it gets me emotional. Sometimes it gets me in tears when I just think about, man, I just want my kids to be able to say, man, damn, you know, my dad, that guy was a good dad.
Maybe when we get to the YouTube phase, we might, you know, not do it just in case somebody wants to use it in class or something. I don't know. But right now, it's everything dad for everyday dads, and everyday dads, oh, you know, swear
Once in a while. Yeah, oh, yeah.
Man, we had a couple of podcasts, man. Yeah. We had a podcast on, and we had some rough conversations.
Well, we just went in.
I swear, I feel like saying, yo, before you play this episode, this is an FYI, parental advisory. It's not frequent, every now and then, but every now and then,
right.
It's real talk. This is for dads, man. This is where you can come and be transparent. You can't do it everywhere, you know, but you can do it on New School Daddy.
You can, man. I mean, a lot of podcasts actually are like that, right? You know, a lot of podcasts are kind of free. I feel like, you know, I guess down to earth conversations. So, you know, no apologies.
Under the guise of being real, but you know, it's not about being real. It's, if that's the word that is going to get the point across. Well, fuck it.
Yeah, it's honest. It's honest.
It's honest, man. Thanks. Well, true.
So listen, man, I've really enjoyed this entire program. We're going to have to do a part two because we went a little longer than we anticipated, but the story was so engaging. Did I say he was entertaining?
Not that Reggie in and of itself is like, you know, some comedy guy when we were all sitting here cracking up, but his story was just, it was so raw. Like, right. We noticed, right?
So compelling.
We know, and I mean, let's just be real. I mean, you know, you have a couple of kids, you know, sometimes things happen, you know, you don't work out, you know, with the woman, you know, or you have one here, one there. I mean, that's the truth. But even though that happened, and I'm like, that's not the story that would get a primetime show. That's not Blackish or the Cosby Show. That's not Good Time.
Nah.
But it's the truth. But how you took that, and even though that could have been like catastrophic, right? Like it could have been bad with both of the mothers, and I don't want to see my kids, and I got nothing to do with them. I'm gonna do me. Like it could have went a total other way, but for you to have predicament, let me do what I gotta do. Let me figure this thing out, and then to make bold, courageous steps, like yo, I'm taking my son, because clearly, you know, we see how this ends if he doesn't have me in his life, and now he's being articulate and talking to you about comparisons between how you react to him and his sister. Like that's new school daddy right there. Like you took what was, you know what I mean, like a rough situation. You know what I mean? Like that shit was ill.
he took a true turning point. I think my favorite part of the entire story was it wasn't just like miraculous that, oh yeah, maybe I should do the right things. It was he saw his son. He saw his daughter, and then he was like, even though, Reggie, you considered yourself like a selfish individual up to that point, you took a selfless act, right? And you was like, you know what? I'm going to make this not about me. Like, the reason you became a dad was for your kids. And then you moved in that, like, the entire time. And for me, that's like the best part of the story. Like, this is an after school special, right? Yeah. I used to watch them growing up. The joint would be on TV. That'd be the, you know, the pianos and the violins are playing. And he's looking into the distance and he's like,
yeah.
And he goes and he does the right thing. Man, it's an amazing story. But what I want to do right now is I want to close this up and wrap this up, and then we're going to move into a part two. It's going to be a whole new episode because I know we got a lot that we want to talk about in the next episode, which is going to be talking about this bod dad. You know, there's a dad bod syndrome that we got going on with this COVID-19. We're all sitting around getting fat.
Man, yes, bro.
But
Yes.
But I know my man got some good wisdom for us to think about and some things that we can do, you know, to try to keep ourselves moving in a positive direction. If you've already been working out, this can help you stay where you at least maintain. And if you haven't been maintaining, this can get you on a road to recovery. So as we always like to do, Reg, is there any last thing in the realm of fatherhood? Because we always aim to teach our audience. We never want to leave them with anything that they can't walk away with and try for themselves, or, you know, reevaluate how they've been reaching. Is there anything that you want to, in 30 seconds or less, you know, you want to share with our audience about your journey through fatherhood?
You know, it's funny you said that. I'll tell you, one of the reasons I became a dad, honestly, man, I became a dad because I was horny. And then that just kind of led to my kids. And then as far as, man, you know, as far as what you guys have said, you definitely want to just embrace who you are and what it is, man. You always want to embrace the truth because, you know, a lot of people look at that when you have multiple kids by multiple women. They look at that like, you know, like, that's not something I want to bring about a topic of conversation, man. It's something that I created, something that I put myself in. And like in the words of Frederick Douglass, you know, without struggle, there's no progress. Like, it was a situation that I created at me at the root, at the foundation. And it was just like, man, I owe it to this creation and these beings to give them the best that I can. if I had to leave anything, like I just said, the quote, man, there's always, I really believe in that Frederick Douglass quote, that there's always a situation, there's always beauty and light at the tunnel. Even with this COVID virus that we have coming out through right now, there will be some great things that will come about from this situation, you know, because it's kind of like that quote. I'm not really religious, but, you know, they say in the Bible or whatnot, maybe I saw this in one of the daily breads, you know, with God, you know, what we call adversity, God calls opportunity. And there's going to be some great opportunities to come and spur from this.
Nice. All right, everybody. I want to thank Reggie for giving us, you know, a window into his life, sharing with us, you know, his journey and his challenges and his triumphs. It was a real good time talking with you. I do look forward to the next segment. Y'all tune in to next week, listening to part two of, you know, this dad journal with Reggie Howard. And as we always do about this time, well, actually, before we do that, Reggie, how can they find you? I just want to make sure we talk about that right now before we end this podcast. So how can they find you right now?
Which my Instagram has been tried, but we're looking to make some vids. On Instagram, my handle is at Reggie's Regiment, and that's R-E-G-G-I-E, right? S, and then Regiment, exactly how it's spelled, R-E-G-I-M-E-N-T. You can find me there. Looking to put out some videos. We have a website that's going to be coming out probably later on in the summertime, which is going to feature some Reggie's Regiment. My company is Vision Fitness, so we're going to put Reggie's Regiment on the website along with Reggie's Remedies, which is a combat a remedy. It's a book, self-help, probably be an ebook to combat lifestyle chronic illnesses, more so target towards like diabetes and things of that nature, as well as Reggie's Recipes, which is going to be just some ingredients to help you out with eating.
Wow.
Which we'll probably dive into in part two. So, yeah.
Got a lot going on there, bro.
Trying, man. It's, you know, it's a matter of effort kind of really pushing it through, but 2020 should be it should be some things launching off, man, even though we've been hit with the pause button.
Nice. Well, as we always do about this time, lead with love and everything else will follow. Make sure you check us out next week for part two.